Hey, Pistol.
Hey, Dagger.
Know what time it is?
Yeah, it's gonna be about 3 o'clock.
No, dumbass. It's time for the Pistol and Dagger Society, presented by Meltdown Comics. We hit the LA streets to fill the kitchen table seats. Our guests live really cool lives, and we ask a bunch of questions about it the entire time.
We are live for our inaugural podcast. What is this exactly?
When do we start?
I just started.
Yeah, we gotta do an intro. You gotta really just give us the intro.
And welcome to the Pistol and Dagger Society, presented by Meltdown Comics. My name's Sadie, and basically it's me and...
Me. I'm Ken, also Jack, also the Pistol at Pistol and Dagger.
And I'm the Dagger.
You guys are the Pistol and Dagger, and I'm the Meltdown part.
Whoop, whoop.
And so, welcome everybody, all our new listeners. This is our first show, coming out strong, excited, and ready to...
talk.
Yeah.
And well, this is our first show, but it's certainly not your first show. Are you involved with other shows?
Yeah, too? Yeah. Well, you know, over at Meltdown Comics, 7522 Sunset Boulevard, Hollywood, California... There is a Meltdown Comics Network, and there are a number of podcasts there. The History of the Batman, which I co-host. There is the On Some Hip-Hop-ish, which I co-host. But then there is Anime Addict.
Shouldn't it be called the Adam Channel?
No, because all the other shows I'm not a part of that are incredible, like Two Packs a Week, Pod Sequentialism with Matt Kennedy, Anime Addict by Mason Booker. I mean... You know, there's all great stuff, but you recently came to me, Mr. Ken Jack Dempsey, and talked to me about an idea you had, and that is this Pistol and Dagger Society. So why don't you tell the audience what this show's about?
Well, I am also a Los Angeles long, because I've only been here since 1998, fan, and... customer of Meltdown, and I was thrilled when Nerdist came there. I thought that was super cool. And then when I discovered that Meltdown had created its own network, was that last year? Was it 2015 when that started?
Yeah.
So when I found out you had your own network, and I had been buddies with the owners of the store for a while, and I they knew that I was a musician and also into comic books and video games and toys and all this kind of stuff. I had this idea of approaching them and doing a show that was about people like me who are in the art and entertainment industry who also have a passion for all things nerdy.
Right, so get nerdy with it was the catchphrase you told me.
Yeah, that was my idea. Let's interview really cool rock stars and amazing artists and find out what they're up to, learn about their lives and careers, get a little... personal with them and hear some of the stuff they're working on and, you know, do some live performances. And then halfway through the show, let's switch gears and get a little nerdy. Let's find out what it is that they're passionate about. Because to me, a nerd is someone who is passionate.
Right, right.
Which is what I wanted to do. Because my friends, when we go on tours and we're traveling around the world and stuff, when we're not doing the thing that we're there to do, we're searching old comic book stores. We're going to thrift stores. We're going to flea markets to try and find... you know, vintage comics and toys and, in my case, video game stuff. So it's like, you know, and so many of my friends who are popular artists have this other side to them that's so different than their stage persona.
Right.
I mean, obviously the intersection of art and nerdiness, I'm sorry, music and nerdiness has been going on for a long time.
Right, right, right.
Frank Zappa. I mean, it is.
People collect guitars. They do all kinds of things in the music industry, but you have
well, some even collect trains.
Yeah,
I know. We'll reveal eventually in this series when I invite a friend who's a big
rock
star. Aren't
y'all excited?
Yeah.
We are excited. So anyways, that was the idea. I thought, let's do a show where we interview cool, interesting people doing interesting stuff in the arts around the world and get a little nerdy with them. And at the time,
right,
Sadie May and I, who have been music writing partners for a couple years now, since about...
Yep.
August of 2014?
No. Yep.
That's right, right?
Yeah.
Is that not correct?
No, that's correct. I don't know why it's 2 years, about 2 years.
It'll be... right. We're not at 2 years yet, of course. But, you know, we're into 2016 now. So to me, that's the start of each new year is a year. So at any rate, we I wanted to bring her on as the co-host because we are so similar that I thought it'd be so interesting for people to hear just how
we're like the same person. You can't see our faces right now, but it's all sarcasm.
So we thought, why not interview people in stereo?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was excited about the idea that you came to me with, but I was more excited because Sadie Mae would be a part of this.
Oh, you guys.
So tell me, Sadie, what about you? Give me a little bit of backstory about you and why you're here.
My backstory, let's see, I'm from Alabama, kind of grew up across the Southeast. I moved out to LA. I've been here 5 years now, and I moved out here for modeling and acting. And 2 years ago, yeah, I met Kenny through a mutual friend, and he was recording his album, Jack Dempsey album, at Capitol Records at the time, and had all these musicians over at his house, and I was just like, this is pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
Oh, we can curse on this show too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Cuss away. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide. But so yeah, I don't know. We just started hanging out a few months after the first time I met him. And so when we started hanging out, he was going through a whole ordeal at Capitol, and I don't know how you would say it, couldn't use the music he had recorded.
I was choosing not to use the music.
There you go. Choosing not to. And so he was playing in like this heavy metal hard rock band, and I was like, it's great stuff. Like, I went to all the shows, but I kept begging him to write with me because I liked like the Dempsey lyrics, the simplicity and straightforwardness and the storytelling of them. And finally he did. And
were you a songwriter at this time?
I had written songs like on my own. It was never an intention, nothing more than a hobby for me.
Really?
And not often, yeah.
So, I mean,
you were playing in a band before I met you.
I was playing bass.
But going, oh, okay.
That's so you were in a band.
You had a band.
It was more of like an outlet, somewhere to go and turn your amp all the way up and not hear anything inside your head.
Right, right. But that's pretty cool, though, to actually go to see a artist perform and then say, I want to work with that particular artist.
Yeah.
Well, I think she could tell, because we immediately, I think before you saw us play, we had gone on that adventure downtown LA to look for the reptile people, right?
Well, we found information regarding the reptile people. We didn't
the reptile
looking
people?
For yeah, them.
So I wanted to get to know her, and so I suggested to her that we go down to, we take the train from Hollywood down to Los Angeles, and we go to the basement archives of the Los Angeles Public Library, and we ask for the secret cold case
unsolved
files,
mysteries.
Unsolved mysteries that would be logically in the basement, because as somebody who spent his entire life listening to old-time radio shows, I assumed naturally that there would be a secret archive basement that would have unsolved mysteries. So, of course, it wasn't anything that I had actually researched. I didn't know that this
you
was
just
true.
On a whim decided to go search for...
Well, I said to Sadie, we should, you know, because she had...
He had, like, this whole plan, like, go to Chinatown and then go get Mexican food and
the idea was that we were going to go and find a mystery.
Yeah, I know, but
then
there was,
solve
like,
it in Chinatown.
There was a whole day around it, and I was like, sounds like this guy's been there before, knows what he's talking about, okay.
He knew nothing.
Oh, no,
I realized that about as soon as he picked me up.
Oh, maybe that's why you think I'm so full of shit all the time, because we started on that note.
Probably. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Had I actually done...
When have I ever... Why do you not believe me? Sorry, that was quoting Kenny.
What happened was we got on the train, and I found out that there was a possibility Sadie Mae might have some American Indian in her.
Yeah.
So I decided that should be part of our investigation. So we should go look for the American Indian Archives at the Los Angeles Public Library, assuming they had that.
Right.
So we got downtown, and we went to Union Station, and we got off, and we ended up... There was a little magic show going on.
For kids.
It's
for like a five-year-old birthday party.
It's still a magic show.
Yeah, so we sat in the middle of a bunch of kids until adults started eyeing us and pointing. And I was like, we have to go now.
But it was still a guy doing magic.
Yes.
Right. Were you entertained?
I was.
Yeah, I figured. Sadie wanted to run out of there as fast as possible.
I was all set. I was good to go. I mean, that was it. So we went down to the we went from there to the library, and we went up to the information desk at the library, and I said, could you please direct us to the basement archives of Unsolved Mysteries, where the archives are. And we went down to where they keep the microfilms, and we...
So we were
in the area of Chinatown where you would find books and archives and stuff in the library in the basement, and a porter who was an intern there was putting away books, and we told him what we were doing, and he said, actually, I have just found something that you guys might be interested in. Is that not correct? And remember, he said, I just pulled out all the stuff about the reptile people that lived under Los Angeles, and in 1932 there was a headline in the LA Times about discovering the reptile people under the city in the tunnels.
What are the reptile people? Did you figure that out?
Well, actually, recently we found out that it could theoretically have been really just caked on, you know, dirt and grime homeless people who were in the tunnels down below the city.
The reptilians, you never heard about them?
No.
Well, I hadn't either until this day, but...
So the next time that we hung out after discovering the reptile people was at the Cowboy Festival, right, out in Santa Clarita?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we were kind of walking around. We saw that there was like a country music show going on, of old-time country music, and we kind of bonded on that. But at the time, I was playing in this very hard rock band, and Sadie was wanting me to go back to writing the stuff that I was doing with Jack Dempsey, which is a homage to early Chicago blues.
Mm-hmm.
And also the, you know, but...
I liked the hard rock stuff, too. I was a fan of Fixer.
But you just didn't see yourself a part of it.
Well, I was already in a dirty rock band.
Were you?
That's what we called it, Dirty Rock.
Dirty Rock. Were you performing in L.A.?
We played a show before. We just kind of...
A show.
Fizzled.
Fizzled.
Sadie, unbeknownst to her at that time, I was struggling deeply. You knew that I was struggling with that band, but the other part of my background is I was a student at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago back in the 70s. And I did have this very hardcore folk background because a lot of the American folk music really was born out of there. We had teachers like Pete Seeger and Arlo Guthrie and Ella Jenkins teaching there when I was a kid. So we had, I was struggling to find my musical style, and that whole Fixer thing was a great experience because it gave me a chance to scream on stage. But I remember one night we were at, Was it Mel's Diner?
Yes.
In the middle of the night? And I think that was kind of the night that I realized that you know, that I needed to get out of what I was doing and make some sort of transition in my life, which we actually eventually made in August of that year. Tell us what happened.
I came over one night and found Kenny lying on his back in the middle of the floor right inside this front door here, which, by the way, we record in.
Kenny's living room kitchen.
Kenny is Jack Dempsey, by the way. Did we establish this?
Oh, yeah.
Think so.
Over my head. Sorry, guys.
It's okay.
Okay. I walked in. Kenny was lying on his back.
This is the third time you met him?
No. I was going to shows and we were like hanging out every now and then. And I had just written this poem I was so proud of about my mom. And so he looked miserable and I don't know, I just sat down, we started talking, and he was telling me everything that was going wrong, and that he was just, like, at a dead end, like, not even a crossroad, didn't know what to do.
You mean specifically regarding music?
Yes.
Yes, because I was out of Fixer by then. The record at Capitol was gotten a little messy, and I didn't know what to do, hence laying on the floor, which is a place I like to lay when I don't know what to do. I think I was listening to a record or something.
Yes. And
but looking miserable.
Yes. And
but people often think I look miserable because my face has this sort of resting miserable face.
Right. Well, I don't think so.
I always ask him if he's about to cry.
Oh, really?
Every time I
talk to you, you're like, amazing. It's great. My favorite thing in the world.
Yeah, but you don't look me in the face when I say it.
Okay. Well, there you go, I guess.
Resting miserable face. That's the title of this first episode.
So you see him on the...
I sit down, we're talking, and I was like, hey, let me read you this poem I just wrote.
Can you
about
do it
my
now?
Mom.
Do you know it?
No, I'll probably cry.
Okay, then.
But I read it, and he sat up, and he looked at me, and was like, why didn't you tell me you could write? Are you serious? Okay, where's my guitar?
Oh,
grabbed his guitar, and he was like, listen to this. and he played this riff, and he had like the first verse or first two lines or something.
This riff. I had this riff.
You have it. Oh boy, we get to hear it.
Oh no, it went.
That riff. So you get up off your back.
I had the opening line of the only thing I had was that opening line, which said, which is exactly how I was feeling, was I'm feeling like a freight train that's waiting on a station that ain't never gonna come.
Wow.
And I said, shit, we're writing this. And so we grabbed the whiskey and climbed up on the roof and started writing it, finishing it.
Wow. From did on your back to writing a song?
We did not finish it that night.
How far did we get in the song that night?
Pretty far.
Tell me, I want to understand. I want to remember.
Like, I don't remember.
Well, did we get the most important line in the song?
What's the most important line?
What is the most important line?
I'm going to head out onto sunset.
That's the most important line?
With my daddy's buckskin dagger in my belt. Heaven help the fool that gets in my way, because I'm bound to cut a bitch today.
Can you sing this for me? Is that
you've
possible?
Heard it?
No, I know, but the audience hasn't. It's kind of like a, you know.
Oh, I get what you
know. You
did
we're
there.
Talking to
okay,
people.
Okay, we will perform it for you right now.
Well, I'm feeling like a freight train that's waiting on a station that I know. Well, I feel a little dead today. Maybe it's a Monday thing. But anyway, I don't feel so good. Well, I'm gonna step out on the sunset with my daddy's buckskin dagger in my belt. Heaven help the fool who gets in my way, 'cause Lord, I'm bound to cut a bitch today. Well, I woke up a blind man, now I'm fumbling for my car keys. And when I find them, I'm gonna blow this town. I'm gonna head out on the interstate. I'm gonna make it out of Dodge somehow. And when I get there, you know I'll be anywhere but here. When I'm gonna ride on into the sunset, tear that rearview mirror off that damn Celine. Heaven help the fool who gets in my way, 'cause I'm bound to cut a bitch today.
Wow, that was awesome.
It's almost like you never heard that song before in your entire life.
Yeah, man.
It's almost like we just met right now with these microphones in my living room.
Your face.
That was awesome.
You know, I do want to say that we had a really great opportunity with that song. Sadie and I were invited out to a music producer's house out in the valley not too long ago. And I sat down next to this very charming British fella named Luke. I did not know who he was. And we shared one whiskey, then another whiskey. Then by the third whiskey, we were into Eckhart Tolle and Wayne Dyer and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And then Sadie Mae and I had a chance to hang out with him that night, and it was one of those fun LA parties where all sorts of cool people were hanging out and doing stuff. But this kid was so cool, and I must have talked to him for about an hour and a half or so, and found out that he was off to New York, that he was a songwriter and a singer. He didn't really tell me who he was, and that he was off to New York to write his next record. And I said, you know, we're leaving for a tour. The same day that you're planning on leaving for New York, and I've got this cool house. I've got a cabin in the backyard. I've got a little meditation garden in the back. There's a whole place to jam and tons of stuff to jam with here. And I said, why don't you just take my house? So he did. He canceled his plans to New York. And about 10 o'clock at night, we were at the house, and we started playing that song with him, and he just transitioned our cool little emotional folk song into what sounded to me like a B-side off of Exile on Main Street. And he just nailed this Mick Jagger, Bob Dylan, Luke thing. And it turned out the dude was Luke from a band called The Kooks, which I did not know that band. I know you knew that band before, right?
Mm-hmm. I listened to them in high school.
What was their big hit in high school that you had?
Naive and She Moves Her Own Way.
Yeah, so we ended up in the middle of the night before we left for tour shooting a music video with them out in the cabin. And
we ended up, or you orchestrated it.
What's that?
I got to call it like 11 p.m. I was frantically trying to pack and finish laundry. And Kenny calls me and says, Scott's bringing pizza over. Luke's here. Daniel's here. We're going to record this music video for Freight Train.
Oh, and Andy, our next door neighbor here, who's an amazing comedian, had a great camera package and wanted to direct it. So next thing you know, we're sitting in front of a green piece of paper shooting a music video at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Chugging
whiskey and knowing that we had to leave for our Pistol and Dagger music tour to Texas the next morning.
Mm.
Where can they see that video?
Pistolanddagger.us it'll be posted right there.
Too,
but
right?
Yeah, we're on YouTube. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on everything.
Well, so that first song came out of us, and we called it Freight Train.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, what was the next couple things we wrote?
Kenny had some like half-written songs or like ideas and stuff from growing up or whenever, I don't know, all his whole life. That
oh,
he's
that's
had.
When you fell in love with that horrible song that I hated called Hey Hey or How's About Dinner?
Oh, yeah.
I hate that song so much. And then Sadie heard something that I never heard before.
Hate it.
Now it's a great song. Anyways, that was, I think, the next one we really kind of attacked, right?
He says he hated it, yet he still played it for me.
Mm.
Well, because it had the chorus How's About Dinner in it.
What?
And it said, How's About Dinner? Was in the chorus. It was a line in the chorus back then. Anyway, so we took that song and we opened it up. And, you know, I was able to see from that particular song, which do you want to play it for him real quick?
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
All right. Well, we'll play a second of this song. It's called Hey Hey.
I heard your name last night. Whispers, I fell asleep. And then once we met, I saw what I was looking for. I said, hey,
hey,
how's about dinner? And hey,
hey,
could you stay for the night? And hey,
hey,
I've been waiting such a long time. And are you gonna be mine tonight?
Swiftly, but change hangs in the air, and every day I wonder what the hell I'm still doing here.
I said, hey,
hey,
how's about dinner? And hey,
hey,
could you stay for the night? Hey,
hey,
I've been waiting such a long time, and are you gonna be mine tonight?
Another banger. Wow.
Banger.
Is that what that is?
Well, you know. That's my excitement
do
term.
Do I know?
So you we know. So we did that song, and it kind of it did open me up to see that I could just pull out notes and chicken scratches and stuff, and I think we knocked a couple more songs out that fall, right?
Yeah.
So how many songs have you guys written in
total?
Too
many.
How many songs have we written in total?
Hell if I know.
Well,
I've got a folder.
You have an estimate?
Full, maybe close to, like, honestly, close
no,
to...
No, I don't want you to be honest.
60, 70?
60 songs, 70 songs you guys have written together?
Yeah, we had a very good chemistry in the beginning, and we were just about to set to record our first EP together in February of that next year.
So let me get this straight real quick. You can only come up with an EP after 60 or 70
songs?
No.
The problem is recording the EP.
Oh. I got it.
Yeah, recording, that's kind of the big issue is, you know, and we still struggle with that. We were very fortunate because while we were demoing and tracking at my house and just using GarageBand and whatever else we had, an old version of Pro Tools. And sometimes we would just sit and put a microphone in my living room and just record.
Or an iPhone.
And we were recording our songs like that. And then one night I was playing a show in Los Angeles with, was I playing a show that night with Jack Dempsey? I think I was. I was playing a show with Jack Dempsey that night with Alex and that band Fixer. And a guy that was on before us was this motherfucker on a harmonica. I mean, I hadn't heard harmonica playing like that in 20 years. And his voice was great. He had kind of I thought he had a quality like the guy from Train.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had a really strong singing voice and he had so much charisma on stage. So I approached him afterwards and asked him if he would be down to, you know, come by and sing with me and Sadie. And he showed up one night when we were actually working on Freight Train. And I think it only took him, you know, listening to us do it once to then...
Not even the whole way through.
Yeah, then he just kind of, he put that finger up and suddenly just took over. And next thing we know, we've got this great Crosby, Stills, and Nash type of budding harmony going on.
Mm. I still had much to learn about singing, though.
You were doing just fine. That was a hard room. We're considerably
older. Well,
I've
never sang before in my life. Kenny had to use power tools practically to get me to...
You never sang before?
No.
You've sang before. You sang on stages. I've seen video of you singing before.
I did a Miss Sorority Row pageant because my sorority voted me to.
Yeah, but that's
sang
getting on
one song.
But that takes
you
guts.
Didn't see the audience. There was nobody there. It was
but
a Friday night.
I saw the
night.
Video. You sounded great.
Thank you, Kenny.
That takes a lot of guts to go up there and
that's
sing.
That's pretty amazing. So you were a songwriter before you were a singer.
I guess so.
So well, do you practice?
What?
Do you practice singing?
Now I do, yes.
Yeah. What do you do? How do you do that?
Well, when I first started, Kobe was so far advanced.
What did you just say? Kobe?
Oh, yeah. So the singer that we had aligned ourselves with was named Kobe.
Oh.
But I think it's important before we talk about technique.
Like Kobe Bryant?
No, Kobe McLaughlin.
Yeah, me and Kobe.
Kobe McLaughlin, right? That was his name?
Yes.
I'm kidding, Kobe, if you're listening. We very quickly fell in with this guy and we formed a project called Three on a Match. Do you remember what Three on a Match is from?
No.
The old World War I superstition that if you're in a trench and you're going to go light a cigarette, when you light the first one, the enemy knows somebody's out there. You light the second one, they can get their bearings. But if you light the third match, they can take aim and kill everybody because now they know where you're shooting.
You don't remember that from World War I?
Well, you know, I only remember the sayings from World War II.
Damn,
oh, okay. Well, then we're probably not going to get into World War I conversation.
Yeah.
Although we could.
I'm pretty sure it's a British saying, too.
And so only light one cigarette is the...
Well, if you're going to share
don't
a match,
be the third.
Don't be the third.
Oh, okay.
To kill you. Okay, so we were very fortunate, you know, within a very short amount of time to get into a studio with some really amazing, legendary studio musicians, and we recorded our first EP. And then that was getting close to the summer of that year, and we did a couple more performances together, but then by the fall of that year...
The heat did it.
The heat kind of killed Three on a Match. Struck the matches burned down.
Mm-hmm.
But we, Sadie and I started focusing back on our duo, and I think Kobe's an actor, and he was off doing acting stuff. And
yeah, it looks like he's got a lot going on, which is good.
But we were lucky to recently release a couple of the songs from that record.
Which record?
From that Three on a Match record.
Oh yeah, where's that?
Well, we actually had an EPK for it, which is
a
also
video, yeah.
On our site. Yeah, it's like a little short trailer of that whole recording experience with Three on a Match. And then we have a 45.
Yeah, I was going to
45.
Yeah, we're into 45
digital.
Now.
And I don't
digital
have
45.
I collect stuff. I want to collect your
I
music.
Oh no, I want to do 45s. That's a goal of mine. Is to actually put 45s back.
I don't think
out
I've ever seen one.
Do you guys have any vinyl out right now?
We will.
We will have vinyl.
Do you have any CDs out right now?
We will.
No,
I
not
want
CDs.
Cassettes.
I don't think anybody.
Hey, what about
CDs
cassettes?
Yet.
I want to make cassettes. Well, I want to record
so
on
everything there is to know about Pistol and Dagger is at pistolanddagger.us.
Okay. And if I go to pistolanddagger.us and I want to consume your music, how would I do that?
Well, there's a music player there.
Okay.
And we've got some stuff up on iTunes, of course.
Okay. You guys on Spotify or any of the music services?
starting to seep in there. You know, that's a tricky one. The first
I hear they don't pay anything.
Listen, the first album I put out years ago got on Spotify. It was called 24 Hour Rockstar. I took it down because when I got my first check after thousands and thousands of plays on my music, $6.
Jeez.
$6.
Yeah, Spotify is nothing more than advertising for the artist. You need to be on it. Don't count on money from it, though.
The biggest lesson I've learned is that the album, no matter how much it costs you to make and how much years of your life are dedicated to it, it's essentially a business card.
Right.
Because nobody buys music anymore. Right. Although I did hear that in 2015, vinyl outsold iTunes, which is pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That is pretty cool.
It's because they charge $30 a record now. It's ridiculous.
And people like that, hearing those new bands they are obsessed with on the vinyl.
Oh, my God.
On the vinyl. Vinyl's a pain in the ass because you still have to flip it.
Oh, and you still have to lug it around.
But the sound.
And you can't play it in your car.
So cut to 2016. And we've been back in the studio and we're back demoing and we've been working on tons of songs. And we are so excited to have this outlet through Meltdown to be able to bring our friends on to interview people, to be able to play music with people, to hear about their cool lives. Frankly, I think we should. I mean, artists are and passion to me could be a rocket scientist. It could be a game designer. It could be anything. It doesn't necessarily.
Someone makes videos.
Somebody makes videos, like a music video director or producer or. I don't know. I think art
piano
and passion.
Piano players.
People
and
who
actors.
Stop terrorism would be amazing to hear about.
You know
what?
I don't know. I just want to hear about it.
Well, what about the reverse? World. What about the reverse thing? Did you say counterterrorist expert?
Yeah.
I know a counterterrorist expert, and I will contact him. I know him very well,
That'd
and I will
amazing.
Get him. But I also recently met a Power Ranger who is an amazing piano player and songwriter, too. So that's sort of the reverse of the concept of the show. So when we do our Bizarro World, Pistol and Dagger presented by Meltdown Society, we'll bring in a nerd who happens to be a musician.
Oh, that is cool.
Power Ranger to musician. Now, we got a lot of good people lined up on this show that we're going to be bringing in. And I think, you know, what I'm excited about is some of these people, you know, what they're passionate about is so far removed from anything that we'll have hearing from guest to guest, which I think is really cool.
Can you guys walk me through how you two would create a song together? I mean, you know, we're obviously in your
You don't
want to
be walked through that.
No, but I want to lay down and listen to it.
You know, somebody comes up with an idea, and then the other person argues about it for a good couple days.
Right, but you have a guitar here, so
then
you
we get,
start
then
with
we get
guitar.
Hurt, and somebody gets hurt.
I, like, whenever I, like, before I met Kenny, I would always start with a riff or a chord progression. I couldn't just
Did
have
you
an idea.
Come up with the music first or the words first?
The music first,
really?
And then whatever the
music.
You're
a music first lady.
Yeah.
And are you a music first man? You're a words first man.
Oh, no, but I was a words first man until Sadie and I started working together, and then we started, you know, she's really good at creating little riff ideas and type of melodies I'd never think of before, and it leads us to doing really cool
stuff.
Can
you recreate one of those right now, please, for me?
I'm really good at making Kenny mine for riffs I hear while he's just, like, messing around.
So what was a recent one?
Well,
not even a recent one.
A recent
one,
there's a lot of them.
All right, let me hear. I'm interested. I don't write music. By the way, public service announcement, I don't know anything about writing music, so I'm just kind of sitting here trying to get into, you know, the musician
get cut
mind.
Off
yeah. Musician mind. I want to know how it's done, because one day I want to do it myself.
Well, actually, we have heard you rap, so we may need to do a rap in this show.
You may need me to, but let's focus on your great
I do
want to
say, because we haven't set the stage yet, we were going to originally record this show at Meltdown.
Yeah.
And then we turned Adam on to a semi-regular thing that happens at my house. There's an old cabin in my backyard from the 1930s, mm-hmm. and it's got a grill back there and a fireplace and stuff. And it's a pretty big backyard. And this being Los Angeles, there's no point in trying to grow anything. So it's just a bunch of dirt and a cabin back there. So nothing can really get hurt.
Good. But okay.
I have tried to grow stuff here, but you can't really water here. We've been in a drought, you know, since I got
true.
This house. So when
drought
I first
tolerant plants.
When I first got here, I tried to do it, you know, but then it's just I've been here 6 years, and frankly, there's no point. You put something up, and it gets burned off the next day.
You need to put some more decks up there, man.
Dex?
Dex.
No, the last Dex broke a testicle. I can't do it.
Can we not?
I just don't like thinking about testicles
me
being broken.
Either.
Yeah, it's not a good thing.
So you've got this cabin there, and so you turned me on to
stuff. We started having events back there. We called them cabin parties, and they're always private. But we got this invite-only, really cool group of people in every cabin. We bring some artists, some speakers, some painters, some musician, and there's a theme for each one of them. So
I was here at a recent party, and man, that was fun.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
That was a theme. That was our first themeless
one. Morning.
Yeah, that was kind of that's been the problem with cabin parties. They don't tend to end because I think everybody thinks we're at some parents, like somebody's parents' house. They don't realize it's actually my house.
That's what it feels like.
Like we're getting away with something because the parents are out of town.
Well, yeah, but we are because everybody else here lives in an apartment.
You go up to the cabin, people are playing music. You come to the living room, people are playing music.
Everyone's just performing together.
No one cares the fact that I don't play music or perform music. So it's just like everyone's just chilling. I love it.
Yeah,
had a great time.
Everybody brings bottles and shares.
One of the great things about the cabin over the years is that we have, you know, there's famous people that come, there's famous musicians, and then there's the janitor from the local high school.
Yeah.
You know, it's a combination of all sorts of people, and everybody kind of is on an even playing field here. So at any rate, we thought that originally it'd be cool to have a cabin, to do this in the cabin. But then, I don't know, the heat in Los Angeles has been pretty bad off and on, I'm very fortunate because my living room is soundproof and you can jam in here and do all sorts of cool stuff. So we are now in the living room of my house.
Right.
And we're sitting.
So let's create the riff. Music writing techniques.
So this is a great example of a song that started with a concept that Sadie had. And then we started talking about the storyline and we started sharing, you know, various stories we had. And
it started with the riff.
So you just, that's what you do. How does that? I just am so impressed with how you guys can just have a feeling that comes out into this riff, and then you just add the words. I mean, it really is a collaborative process between you two, huh?
Absolutely.
Is there any time that one of you guys might go do something on your own, and then that's just it? The song is performed by both of you, but it was completely written by one of you alone, or is every song a collaborative process?
I can't see you ever letting that happen.
Me ever letting that happen?
Well, has it ever happened? That's my question.
Because once the two of us get playing something, it just gets altered, even if it's just the way that something's saying or the tone of it.
We always try to do it what's right for the song.
Right.
So even if, you know, we have an ego issue over anything, it's like at the end of the day, and you marinate in it, right, you're gonna see what's right.
I think the song that's closest to one that on your end that just came in, and we I mean, aside from adding the little riff, is probably Everyone Loves You.
What?
Everyone Loves You, I think, is kind of...
Oh yeah, that one you did give me a lot of control with, even though you really hated it and I was just really adamant about...
I didn't hate that song.
Well, you hated the way I had it structured because it didn't make sense. The beat, the downbeats coming in.
That's true.
Yeah.
We do argue about downbeats a lot.
Because he has a lot of musical education, and I just know what sounds good in my head.
Why don't we play that as our last little piece?
Okay.
In our little introductory show about what Pistol and Dagger Society presented by Meltdown is all about. However, I did want to say to you that part of what I'm excited about with our show is to get questions like what you're asking answered, because when you're an artist, it's hard to explain where inspiration comes from. Yeah. And how inspiration goes from a concept that somehow enters your brain to it's manifested physically or in a song, or I mean, I never understand that.
Yeah, I completely don't understand it, but I think it's pretty cool to learn about it. And so thank you for sharing that. My last question then with regards to that, if you know,
can I ask you a question?
Yeah, sure.
Has a song ever made you cry?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Humpty? Was it the Humpty song?
Humpty Dance?
Yeah.
Yeah, doing it in the Burger King bathroom.
What song made you cry?
It was a Cure song.
Just one song ever?
No, I'm sure there's been others, but... Oh, Little Wing, with Sting's Little Wing. It was also when my friend had died when I was 18. And so that one, and there was a Cure song.
Has a happy song? Like a song just made so much sense to you that you just couldn't, like, you just started crying?
No.
You sure?
I don't think so. But there are songs that I've heard that I just feel that make me feel energized and feel invincible, or that I can do anything, or that this should be the soundtrack of my life or what I'm doing at that moment. Absolutely. I mean, there's an album by Simonde, this incredible group. Every time I listen to it, I think of my drives I used to make up to Northern California, to San Francisco. I mean, it is the soundtrack of that drive, and I just feel good about life when that happens. So I get the feeling. I get it when I listen to other people's music. It is even more amazing to me to think about me coming up with something that gives me the same feeling that I get from someone else's, and I'm not there, obviously. One day maybe I will get there, but it's fascinating to hear how you guys can actually create the soundtrack. That's
cool.
That's what's amazing. My question, though, in following up with that is, so obviously it's a collaborative process. It doesn't appear like one of you guys is saying, oh, well, I did 50% of that, or I did 75%, you did 25%. You know, you just basically say you split. Do you guys have a business relationship, or is this just a handshake? I mean, how do artists deal with that? Because that seems like...
Well, you know this as a lawyer. A contract is only as good as the paper it's written on sometimes, right? So in my experience in music, the success that I've had have been when two people are on the same page and they go at it with the same intention and they trust each other, and you make money and everybody's happy. So... with Sadie and I, we're 50-50 partners on everything we do. And, you know, every cent that we make gets split down the middle. So there's, and the songs are ours collectively. So I don't know. We do, I mean, we have our stuff registered, our songs registered with our various, unions and things we're involved with, our trade companies like ASCAP and stuff. But, no, this is a 50-50 BFF partnership type of thing. I wouldn't mess with her because she'll fucking cut me. You know, this girl's got knives on her at any given moment.
Yeah, I mean, she is a dagger.
She is the dagger pistol. Well, Sadie, I'd like to wrap up with one of my favorite songs, which is the one that I think is this one we were just talking about, Everyone Loves You, because I think it's such a pretty song, and I love the way you do it, and I think it's
agree.
A great tone to end the show with.
And I will say real quick, after I listen to you sing this song, because I've heard it, you know, before you're about to play it, it's so hard for me to believe, Sadie, that you are not, you know, trained in the art of singing, because, I mean, you really just, I think you convey amazing emotion, and I'm excited to hear this. And Ken, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I really do think the Pistol and Dagger partnership is very strong. The force is strong with you two. So,
dang, thanks, Wednesday's Fine.
Yeah,
thanks,
Adam. I look forward to doing these shows in the future with you guys, and to the...
Wait, when you say future, you mean like 100 years from now when we're using
like
jetpacks?
Like Fifth Element future?
Hey, man, future are you talking about?
I'm down.
Or whatever. Do you mean next week when we tape our first episode?
Yeah.
That one too.
Ah.
So let's do it. So let's continue. And
shall we sign out before and just...
Yeah, let's get everyone else, and then we'll go out with a song. So, guys,
I got
how
a question for
you,
real
you guys?
Quick. Question: Are we? Do question. We? Do have we been? Have we had any kind of sponsorship opportunities with this show? Has anybody with our show?
Talking
do we get to?
It.
Do we get to launch in with any company that's part of what we're doing?
You know what? Yeah.
What is it? Because I know that there was some talk at Meltdown about us having a sponsor right away.
Yeah. Well, that is Loot Crate, man.
Loot Crate.
You know what Loot Crate is?
I don't.
Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. And what that means is that every month you get a exclusive geek, nerd, pop culture box that comes in your mail. It is one of the most popular subscription services, if not the most popular subscription service available. Loot Crate has such a market force that people are making items just for them. So join Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/PADS. That's Pistol and Dagger Society. Enter in the code PADS and get $3 off your first Loot Crate.
Boom!
That's amazing.
Yeah, and I know you like Loot Crate, Ken.
I do. I don't have enough stuff in my house.
Yeah.
So tell us, Adam, how do people find you?
You can go to Wednesday's Finest on Facebook. You could go to at WEDS Finest on Twitter. And that's pretty much what I'm doing.
You're on Instagram, aren't you?
I am actually on Instagram, but I'm not there yet. You know what I mean?
I love Instagram.
Yeah. And obviously you can go to meltcomics.com. These shows will be up there. All the other podcasts will be up there. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio. So, Pistol and Dagger Society. What about you two?
You can find us at pistolanddagger.us. That's our website. And then all of our social links are on there. But the handles for Twitter and Instagram are at Pistol and Dagger, PistolAndDagger. And my personal Instagram and Twitter is Sadie May, but that's S80, like the number 80, May.
And I'm everything in me is Get Jack Dempsey.
Get
Jack Dempsey. And speaking of Pistol and Dagger, let's go ahead and play that last song together as a way to
bless
our first show and launch into this
christen it
podcast series.
There
Can
you
we
go.
Break a champagne bottle? Nope. Okay, here
All
we
right,
go.
Ready? Okay.
Close your eyes and then